Now let us look at the first formula for creating a beneficial change in someone else. The formula is designed to be able to help a friend or a family member or a colleague when they're having a tough time to overcome a slump or something else that's limiting them in their life. You could use it to help motivate an employee or even a client that has difficulty making up his mind one way or another because of some mental confusion that's going on. One of the most beautiful things about the PCAT formula is that it can be done totally conversationally, so you can slip into this pattern whilst having a normal chat to someone. This is very useful, by the way, if you're talking to someone and live in the moment, the person you're talking to has a problem. For example, let's say you're a salesperson, and just as you're about to close a deal, you'll notice that the other person isn't quite in the right state of mind, there's something not quite there, and you need to shift them to be able to overcome some kind of hurdle or problem or internal resistance. You can shift straight into the PCAT formula, and at the end, tail end of that, you move straight onto your close, and the whole thing becomes a smooth and seamless process that just seems to have been part of the normal presentation or the normal conversation you've had. PCAT stands for P for problem. In other words, you have to activate the problem some way. C stands for confuse. The reason for confusion is to bypass the critical factor and also to mess up some of the problem construct, which allows you to go straight to the next step, which is A for activate solution. Finally, you move on to T for transforming, which becomes a mechanism for putting it all together. So let's have a look at those things in more detail for a moment. The P for the problem. Why would you want to actually activate a problem that someone else is having? Surely you want to stay away from problems. Well, here's the difficulty with staying away from problems. If all you have is solutions, but you don't attach them to anything, then they'll never solve the actual problems they're designed to solve because there's nothing that will ever trigger them into action. The thing about problems is they already exist in the real world. In other words, they know when it's time for them to occur. So when you actually attach a solution to something, it needs to attach the problem. So when the problem starts getting fired, rather than the problem becoming a problem and staying as a problem, it begins to trigger the solution itself. Think of it this way. If you imagine the mind being like a Christmas tree with lots of fairy lights, when you actually light up one of those fairy lights, one set of those unique patterns of lights, that could be the problem state. If you have a solution, it must light up within the same pattern of fairy lights so you can see it glowing in the dark whenever the problem gets activated. If you light up a different Christmas tree, well then the solution isn't going to light up when you flip the right switch. So it's very important to activate the problem so that the neurology is activated. So when you attach a solution to something, it attaches to the right place. When I say to activate the problem though, what I don't mean is that you re-traumatize them or create a huge amount of problems with them. You just want to have just enough so you have an open doorway so that when you throw in the solutions later on, the resources, that they have somewhere to attach to. Typically, when you're doing this in a conversational setting, the problem part of the PCAT formula will happen automatically. I mean by that is that as you're talking to someone else, they'll automatically go into the problem and you'll know, aha, now it's time to go into the whole pattern that we've created. So bear in mind, whilst we have the P, the problem part of the PCAT formula, as for sake of completeness, remember that in most conversations, in most interactions, that bit will be taken care of by your friends, your family member, your client, your colleague, because it'll happen spontaneously. The next step is C for confuse. When someone is in a problem state, they're going to go round a certain cycle over and over again. They tend to be used to that problem, so they get stuck in a particular rut. So you have to come in like a bulldozer and break up all the pieces. So one of the things that confusion does is it breaks up all the pieces, so you now have new building blocks to create a new kind of construct, a mental construct. The other thing that confusion does at the same time is it tends to induce trance. If someone's very confused, they'll try and escape in a particular direction. The direction you're going to give them will be the activation of the solution in a moment's time. The third thing that confusion does is it bypasses the critical factor, so that there's less interference going on. So confusion is a very important stage because it allows you to break up the concrete so they're no longer set in their ways, they're no longer set in the same problem ways. Secondly, it builds response potential because most people don't like confusion, so they need to have clarity. So when you offer them clarity in the forms of a solution, they'll jump on it as a way of releasing the tension built up by the confusion. The third thing that confusion does is it bypasses the critical factor and thereby allowing you to have a strong impact with your suggestions. The next stage is to activate the solution itself. Usually the solution will be some kind of state, in other words, an emotion or a feeling. But it can be anything. You tend to send the unconscious mind on some kind of search through the past. How do you do this? Well, you can do this by reframing them. You can tell a story about something someone else did. You can use your emotional triggers to go back and revivify an experience they've had in the past in which they felt powerful or an emotion or a state that's useful here. You can send the unconscious mind on a search using process instructions to automatically find solutions themselves, like on a sort of unconscious dream. You can also use old behaviors that they can use at other times, which would be useful in this situation, it's just that they haven't managed to attach it to. Finally, you might just want to have a visualization, make them imagine doing something different. All these things are solutions, but the thing is they need to somehow attach to the problem. So the final part, T for transformation, is what attaches the solution to the problem. If you think of it as having two glasses of water, you have the problem glass and you have the solution glass. Hopefully you have more inside the solution glass than the problem glass, but at the moment they're still separate. The next step is to mix the two glasses and give them a good shake so that now the problem and the solution mix up together so that now the solution comes to dominate and clears out the problem. That's the PCAT formula. P for problem, C for confuse, A for activate solution, T for transform. On the next track, you'll see an example of how the PCAT formula can be used very simply and elegantly in order to help someone create some kind of positive change in their life.